Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesch and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesch and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesch.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesch and Beck Law. Their number, 303-806-8886. You can check out the website, fleschlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com. And it's always a joy to have our good friend Kevin Flesch in with us. Kevin, you've been a busy man lately.
Busy.
Wow, a lot of court stuff.
Yeah, we're really back at it, and it's good. It's been really good. It's been really interesting with the trial work that we've done. The thing that's interesting on the criminal side in particular is, especially in the county courts, there's a lot of young DAs that they've hired. And those DAs, although they may now have been out of school a couple of years, and normally a couple of years out of school in the DA's office, they will have tried a number of cases. A lot of them haven't because we haven't had jury trials. And so I'm teaching them some lessons,
right?
And it's, you know, it's an advantage for my clients right now because there are some prosecutors that are doing some really dumb stuff and trying really dumb cases, and so we've been getting some really good results. But I don't think once those lawyers recognize the mistakes that they've made previously, they'll probably make them again.
Sure.
But you know, it's one of those things where it's a practice of law for a reason, and we're seeing that in the district attorney's office right now. Not lack of preparation, not really understanding what they have to show the members of the community relating to proving crime, you know, criminal activity, and not understanding the rules of evidence, not understanding how you have to present evidence in a courtroom.
Right.
And you know, really good, really precise and repetitious objections sometimes get the other lawyer to just stop asking questions when they should try to figure it out. They just don't have the experience, and so they move on to another topic that's less dangerous for our clients. And so it ends up that we get some good results because the jurors, what we end up doing is we really end up minimizing the amount of evidence that the jurors get to consider. And in a criminal case, if they don't have evidence, you start at the presumption of innocence. So when we're able to do that, then that's the only thing they're really left with. And, and that's really helpful for our clients.
Right. We've been doing this show a number of years now, and of course you're on with John Rush some and as well. And we've always said trial tested, trial ready. So I want to kind of break that down. Then I want to kind of get into what all your firm can help our listeners with. But when we say trial tested, trial ready, what does that really mean for your clients?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was just talking about. Yeah. It's the fact is that we are always willing to go to trial if we don't think that what we're being offered in the context of both the personal injury cases that we have, so they're not offering what we think is fair value considering what a jury would award, and in the criminal context where they're offering a plea bargain that it may be really the worst case scenario for the client anyway.
Right.
And so what it ends up doing is giving us the opportunity to be in court and to try cases, and once you start trying cases, you learn stuff and you learn how to do it more efficiently and just more effectively. And most people are really, they don't do it often enough, so they get rusty. They forget some skills that they had, and then they get really anxious, just like anybody else that does something infrequently.
Right.
You know, you just have a certain level of incompetence when it comes to doing it again. So it's like the old adage, you know, riding a bike. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you know, always ride a bike. It's a little different in trying cases because the case is always different and you always have different issues with regard to the evidence and how you're getting things in. And so if you don't do that particular thing on a regular basis, you're just not as effective.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you see different lawyer ads and their taglines, we really took some time thinking about this because we think it's important for people to know we're compassionate. We care about people. We want to do everything. I mean, we, you know, what lawyer doesn't? If they don't, then they shouldn't be practicing law. Because at the end of the day, the reason I do what I do is because I like helping people, and I like helping people in this particular area of their lives that most people don't have any real understanding of. I mean, the client that calls me and acts like they're all knowing, and that I had a client this morning that called me and said, first thing he said to me, my dad's a lawyer, a DUI lawyer in another state, and I have another family member that's a paralegal. And he had gotten the discovery, and he had sort of gone through it, and he sort of told me how to handle the case in his mind. And I said, well, why are you calling me? You know, because if you've got it figured out and you know what you're doing, then you should do it. Then you'd go take care of it. It's a do-it-yourself situation. He was like, no. I said, okay. So if that's not the case and there are things that you're concerned about, then let's have a conversation about that, because that is important for people to – once people start telling me how to do it's a red flag to me, because that means that they think they know what they're doing, and they may. And if they do, more power to them. Right. There's lots of people out there that will try to represent themselves. But even in a situation where I've been an allegation of malpractice or a criminal case or anything, I'm not going to do it myself, even though I think I'm perfectly capable, because there's a lot of other emotional components that people don't – I wouldn't – you know, if I'm being attacked monetarily for something that I think I didn't do wrong – I'm going to react to a case much differently and with probably more vengeance than I should in a case where I need to bring in a third party to say, well, let's look at this and let's pragmatically talk about what's taking place in their allegations, and then start talking about the possibility that, hey, you could have done something wrong. Mm-hmm. And then those risks with regard to 6 or 12 people making a decision whether you've done. So in all of that, what we're really trying to explain to people is that we do this enough so that we know there are risks, and we don't mind trying a case if it makes sense when you balance the risk versus reward.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about then what you feel. And I think you've just really described it, what sets you apart, because I think if you're advertising you care and you're compassionate, that, you know, again, that shouldn't be one thing you have to advertise, you know. But what do you think really sets your firm apart? Because I'll tell you what people tell us.
Yeah.
Man, they're panicked. First of all, if we're calling you, something's gone wrong in your life, whether it's a criminal side or whatever. And so, I mean, almost every person that I've ever sent you, personal friends, whatever, they say, man, I walked in there with the heaviest burden, so to speak.
Right.
And I walked out feeling like he's going to take care of it. Okay. And man, that's huge.
It is. It's that's part of the counselor of law. And it's so important that people feel that way, because that's a huge part of the process. Mm-hmm. Is I understand, and I wake up early morning hours worrying about cases. Because some cases are worrisome. I mean, everybody, the first thing that people are anxious about is they don't know the process and they don't know what's going to happen. So that's the first thing. It's education, making sure that the person, we give these free consultations so that people understand the process and they understand what it is that they're looking at. Because some people know, some people are misguided about what it is that's going to happen. But both of those individuals, when they leave, now understand what it's going to be. And that's huge for them. But then the next part is sort of talking about what it is that they're looking at in the way of worst case scenario. Because people, generally speaking, want to know that so that they either have a light at the end of the tunnel so that they understand what it is that could really happen.
Right.
But they also want to understand what the hope is for the resolution of the case. And we do, especially in both sides, both the civil and the criminal side, I've handled enough of these cases that I will tell them generally what I think will occur and give them a roadmap as to how we get there. And then they have to decide whether my roadmap is acceptable to them or not. Because what I don't want to do is get into a situation where we have that conversation and I implicitly promise an outcome that I can't reach.
Right.
And sometimes people want the outcome that I can't reach. And so then we have a discussion about, why I'm probably not the right person for them, because I'm not going to be able to give them what they want. And a lot of times they're never going to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a conversation that we have, because that's really important. It's important in my life when I get anxious about things.
Sure.
And in other areas of my life, that I understand. I go to a professional that will tell me, this is what you have to worry about. And then, you know, then you know the elephant in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And then you know how to take care of that elephant.
Right.
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time, absolutely. All right, let's get into a couple of areas. You know, folks have heard you on the show, and they may have caught a criminal segment, they may have caught a personal injury, don't realize you help out with both. So let's kind of go through some of the things, and we can touch on the criminal areas first. Kind of run through just some of the top categories, I guess, of criminal law you help out with.
Yeah, absolutely. So we handle all courts in Colorado, both state courts and federal courts. So, you know, anything from your municipal court violation to DUIs and domestic violence cases, a lot of the cases that are in the county courts that people end up running into, shoplifting, all of those sorts of cases where, you know, the risk of going to county jail is probably pretty insignificant, but there's some risk there, and we're talking about anything with a year or less of county jail sort of situation. Then you get into the felony courts. Those are all the district courts in Colorado. Those are where the potential is going to prison, and that's sort of the dividing line between the two. Almost all of the cases that we have are generally cases where someone admits to something as we're going through the process, and they get probation, they get some sort of rehabilitation, and then they get the case resolved and they move on with their lives. Same thing with the federal courts. Those are more significant cases normally. There's more resources that have been put into them. The federal jurisdiction, I would say FBI and the other folks in the federal different agencies, do those are sort of the cream of the crop of the individuals who really do the investigations.
Mm-hmm.
They put more resources into those things, and so when you have a federal case, it's a federal case. It's
right.
A big deal. And so, but we help people with those as well. And so, you know, really any sort of criminal allegation, you know, the municipal courts, for example, we do a ton of municipal defense work. And those courts can be really quite scary for people, because those municipal court judges have a lot of discretion in fashioning a sentence. And it can include jail. And it can include a lot of jail, depending upon the circumstance,
mm-hmm.
and depending upon how that judge feels on any one given day. And so those are cases that people sometimes don't take very seriously, but they should, because I get a lot of calls where someone's been convicted and now they've got to go do 90 days in jail where they thought it was going to be a fine or a slap on the wrist of some sort, and it's not. And so all of those cases we handle throughout the state. And you know, for example, I had a case this morning where the fellow's like, well, it was a child abuse case. And he's like, oh, I'll just go in and take a plea. I'm like, you don't want a child abuse conviction on your record. I know that you don't seem to think it's a big deal in municipal court, but that follows you.
Mm.
And people consider it when getting renting an apartment or getting a job. And
sure.
I mean, there's all things that if it comes up on your criminal background check, you don't want to have to explain it the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
even though you may never have to do much with it except maybe take a parenting class and not get any further violations of the law for the next year.
Right.
It's just stuff that people, they want to sort of slide through the system. And a lot of times that's just not a smart thing to do, because I get this case a lot too, where they slid through the first conviction in their 20s and now they're in their 50s and they've got a second conviction of similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
And now that 20s conviction is coming up in this and they're using it against them because it's a similar situation. So it makes it look like it probably happened.
And right.
It's, again, mm-hmm. one of those things where you want to defend yourself every time whenever you have a criminal allegation, because they're important no matter where it is that you're dealing with the case.
Right. Kevin Flesh is with us. You're listening to Legal Talk. Once again, the phone number for Kevin is 303-806-8886. And we are just kind of going through some of the areas of criminal law that Kevin's firm can help you with. And Kevin, I think, you know, a lot of people hear white collar crimes. What all does that mean?
Yeah, so white collar crime. I mean,
how'd that get its white collar?
Yeah, so it's generally economic. A lot of times, like Denver has its own economic crime unit. That's a white collar crime. It's crimes dealing normally with money and fraud. And generally speaking, it's people that aren't, you know, using physical force to get money. It's not a burglary. It's not a robbery. It's not where someone's threatening your life to get money. your $5. It's people using their brains and doing things to take money.
There's some people good at it, isn't there?
There are a lot of people that are really good at it. And those cases, generally speaking, are really complex because they're, you know, we had a lot of that when the whole fraud in the mortgage industry was going on. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of those sorts of cases come up, and a lot of people who didn't realize that they were working for a business that was defrauding different mortgage companies because of their business practices got indicted as co-conspirators because they were involved in the mortgage lending process. You see it in, I've got several cases right now relating to contractors and having, you know, not completing jobs, and then there's a white-collar crime or an economic crime component because they're saying that there's a pattern of them taking money and not doing all of the services. I've seen it in other situations where maybe there's a business that's getting paid for services that they're never actually rendering. So they may be doing, I had a case decades ago where the allegation was the individual was doing dentless repair work, getting paid for that dentless repair work, but not actually doing the repairs. That there really wasn't any problems with the vehicles,
right?
You know, out of DIA that they said were had dents in them when they didn't, and they were getting paid. So it's people coming up with ways to make money on things for not doing anything, and that's generally the individuals who are really bright, really smart, but then they get sort of off the rails somewhere along the line, and are just trying to get money because they're greedy.
Sure.
I mean, that's what generally, I mean, you know, the Quest, the long, long time ago when we had Nacho and all of those things, that was a white-collar crime. When you think of those sorts of crimes, those are the crimes that you think of that are in the news where individuals, Ponzi schemes, you know, the Madoff sort of cases, same thing. Those are all the category of white-collar crimes.
Right. Now, juvenile crimes. Have you seen a rise in that from maybe 10 years ago to today or 5 years ago to today?
A little bit. I would say that certainly what I would say is the system is more aggressive in charging younger and younger people for things that are done in schools and other places, quite frankly, because of the advent of social media and the fact that kids are always willing to videotape crazy stuff that's going on. You know, back in the day when we were in high school, and maybe you said to a other person that you were mad at, let's meet outside of school and duke it out, and then it would be done. Well, now it's all videotaped. Now somebody's got a phone, and and that comes up on social media, and then the authorities get involved because it's something that's a crime. You can't do it. And so we're seeing a lot of that. And a lot of things that people overshare, and they end up getting charged with crimes.
Right. Are we getting at a point where it looks like we are going to do less to put people in jail for some of these less minor crimes, that what maybe has been a jailable offense, that we're going to get to a point where, you know, stealing a car or something, hey, we're going to put you
in probation. I think that Colorado in general is definitely especially with COVID. First of all, we've gone through a period of time with COVID that because of the risk of people being hurt in custody by both the original COVID and the Delta variant, I think courts are taking that into consideration when fashioning sentences.
Gotcha.
So I think the last few years, we've seen less people in jail because of that. Do I think it's going to continue? I think our community as a whole would say yes, because you look at the voting records, and the people that are generally more liberal in sort of their voting also believe that there should be less people sitting in custody over things, especially drug crimes. And so I think in general, Colorado, the sentences are not as harsh as they would have been 10 or 15 years ago, because it seems that the community is comfortable with that. It'll be interesting to see in the next 10 years if that changes, because we have a lot of property crimes right now that are dealing with a lot of, I would say, addiction and what people are doing trying to get drugs, that it turns out that they're getting things to pawn them or to sell them to other people or to pay for their habits, that I don't know if the rehabilitation is working as well as maybe sitting in jail for 6 months and then some rehab. So it'll be interesting to see what the system does with it. What I can tell you is that from the standpoint of sort of what we do in defending people, I have a really good ability, as long as the people listen to the advice I give relating to showing some real propensity to be willing to be rehabilitated in those cases where there's been significant crime. But at the same time, if you balance what's appropriate in a jail sentence versus rehabilitation, judges generally will find rehabilitation is the mm-hmm. appropriate route to begin with. And I would say, you know, most of the time, it works. And when it doesn't work, then we've got prisons and we've sure. got places for people to go.
Right. Before we move on to the personal injury side a little bit and just kind of cover a few things there, you also do something, and I don't know what they're kind of general things were like. I mean, I've sent you people where they needed an agreement written up or,
yeah.
or they want you to review an agreement yep. and different things like that. So there's some general things that you can do to help people too. So kind of just take a minute and explain maybe what some of those would be.
Yeah. So it's lease agreements. It's you're in a business situation and you're partnering up with another person and you need, you know, you've got an agreement that they've put together to have you look at to make some decisions. It's really what it is a lot of times it's people having significant something changing in their lives, mm-hmm. whether it's real property or in their personal lives. And it's talking about thinking about, hey, if this goes sideways and it goes bad, what do you have prepared to exit out of this situation is really what I'm trying to educate people about. Because I've litigated a lot of the back end, what happens right. when it goes bad and you want to get out of the deal, and why do you want to get out of the deal, and how have you set it up so that you can extricate yourself from the situation. And so I'm really helpful for people to think about that. I mean, and it's as simple as you have a second home up in the mountains, and you normally run it through a management company to rent it out for the ski season.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You've got a good friend, and their family wants to use it, and you'll use it with them, and you figure out the amount of time that they'll use it, and you use it. And rather than just a handshake, you put things in writing so that everybody understands what the right. rules are. And as much as that sounds like overkill, it's something that really needs to be done in our lives, especially when we have a relationship with someone.
Sure.
Because you don't want that relationship to be damaged down the road. I mean, I see it in law firms where a person has been working for the same group for years, and now they're going to become a partner. And rather than have a real drawn-out paper trail relating to what that relationship is going to look like, they do a handshake. Well, that handshake ends up being a problem 5 years later when mm-hmm. somebody's upset or somebody's leaving because they're going to the bench or whatever. And it's always those situations that you don't think about that you need to be thinking about.
Right.
And it's almost always the situation where it's a really good friend or it's a really good relationship that you think won't be severed by this new relationship that you're making. And it's almost always does.
Mm-hmm.
And it generally comes back to money.
Right.
So if you want to get the terms of the monetary issues taken care of, those are the things you've got to really consider and that's where we can help.
Right.
And it's an hour or two of my time sure. to give you some guidance and say, listen, this is the things you really need to look out for mm-hmm. and things you need to think about. Simple provisions in a general contractor's agreement, that maybe it's a one-sided prevailing attorney fee mm-hmm. Provision where only the general contractor gets their attorney fees if there's a dispute. You know, why would you enter into that agreement
exactly.
if you don't know them and you're concerned about maybe a breach down the road, and you change three words and,
right.
and it makes thousands of dollars of difference down the road.
Sure. Once again, it is Flesh and Beck Law, and Kevin, when you really boil it down to just what all you do, I mean, man, you're just trying to protect people's rights. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this, you know, how can you, you know, represent that guy or gal, you
yeah.
know, for what they did? But, I mean, it really is just where you're just, hey, everybody's got rights. No matter
yep.
what you have done, you still have rights.
Yeah, I mean, people ask me all the time, how can you defend people in criminal cases? And most of the time, all I'm doing is making sure the system is fair. You know, half the time the people come in and confess to me about what took place. And then we fashion a remedy to that and say, okay, how can we fix this? Because all of the clients I have, very few are bad people. They do
right.
bad things. I mean, there's things that they regret. There's things that they do that they realize, oh, I really should have handled this differently. and they're willing to learn something, because if they can, if they're willing to learn something and not do it again, those are the best clients, because I'm going to fix them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to help them be better people when they get done with it, and it's going to be part of their story. So that's where we help people. Same thing with the personal injury cases. All I'm generally trying to do is get an injured party back to where they were just before the accident.
Right.
And it's, and in that case, it's money.
Sure.
And it's too bad. I wish there was another way they we could deal with it rather than just money, because money, it's hard. People don't want to ask for it. People don't want to give it. It's just a difficult topic, but it is. It's what we have.
Sure. You know, interesting you just said that, because I've never thought about this. When somebody sits across from you and they're there or they're, where they did something on the criminal side, you do want to know if they did it.
So the way it goes, the conversation normally goes like this. What are they saying that you did? Then they kind of tell me. All right. So tell me from your perspective, what happened?
Okay.
And then I get to gauge whether or not they're being truthful with me or not. And I haven't gotten the discovery. I haven't gotten the evidence.
That's why you do a free consultation. Let me just bring that up real quick. That's why you do a free consultation, because you want to say, hey, look, the only way we're going to get along here and this is going to be good is if I know what happened.
Absolutely. And quite frankly, as long as I can read the person, even if they're lying to me, that's fine too, because then I know from the outset, okay. I mean, I'm going to do everything that I can them, but we're going to figure this out. And I, you know, listen, DUI clients, especially ones that have had 3 or 4 or 5 convictions, I know they're going to come in almost universally and downplay the situation because they don't want to admit they've got a real problem. And so those individuals really need my help to really say to them, okay, you need to focus. You need to focus. Are you a faithful person? Because you're going to need faith in this situation. Do you have family? Will your family help you? Have you lost all of your family? Because that's another indication that they're just completely out of it, right? Because their family has given up on them. Do you have friends that'll help you? And when I get to that person where the person is completely alone and they're sitting in my office and they don't have anywhere else to turn, then you have that real frank conversation. Do you want to change your life? Because if you don't, I can help you with a year in jail and you do the minimal probation and you're on your way. Or do you really want to make a change?
Right.
And if they want to make a change, I'm there to help them. And those are the exciting cases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And real quick, we've mentioned this on previous shows, but in areas of personal injury, you know, slip and falls, any type of accident on the roadways, motorcycle, plane,
anything,
whatever.
Yep. Yeah, we can help
you
people.
Can help them with. Mm-hmm. All right. It is Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. So, Kevin, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Give them a call, fleshlawfirm.com, F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Thanks for joining us for Legal Talk. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Don't go anywhere. Dr. Ben coming up next on KLZ 560.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com, that's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com, a proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. we'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
It's time for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Dr. Ben is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems. Increase your vitality to live your fullest life without drugs and surgery. Now, here's your host, Dan Muir.
Welcome to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. My name is Scott Watley, filling in today. And it's always good to have Dr. Ben Galyart with us. As mentioned, our show is brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins and Nashville. Dr. Ben, how are you, sir?
Oh, doing great. I was just outside watching the Blue Angels flying around. They're going to be up here in northern Colorado this weekend. They must have been doing a little warm-up.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
I usually go outside and walk around, but those are a little bit loud.
Yeah, no doubt, man, no doubt. But they, man, you talk about precision. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing what they do. So
absolutely,
come up this way this weekend. You can see them flying around.
All right, good deal. Well, hey, it's good to be able to visit with you today a little bit, and certainly been following you on your Facebook as I have for years. And you know, I was already thinking, man, how I even found you, so to speak, was way back last year when all the COVID things started and you started doing some of the antibody testing. And, you know, I live in Highlands Ranch, and I thought, I want to do that. And I drove all the way up to see you. And, you have been a big help here on the show, so we sure appreciate the time and all you've been able to help our listeners with.
Absolutely. And just on the idea of traveling this week, we had a lady come over from Fremont, Nebraska yesterday. That's 530 miles by Omaha.
Wow.
Another little 12-year-old came down from Cody, Wyoming, 440 miles. Her parents drove her down. And that's the fun part about doing this is we can connect with people all over, help them with a bunch of different things. This little 12-year-old had thyroid issues. She's been told she's got Hashimoto's. A bunch of things are out of balance. And then the lady yesterday, you know, years of pain and inflammation and just not getting the results and the answers that she needs. And finally doctors throw their hands up and start telling her it's in her head. And that's the last thing I want to see a patient hear.
Sure.
Because, you know, occasionally maybe it is somebody's head, but most of the time there's underlying reasons why they are not having the results that they want and they're having those issues. And so what we have to do is we have to come in and you know, really uncover these underlying imbalances. And so, you know, we've got to come up with that basic idea of, okay, which systems are out of balance? Mm-hmm. And if we can figure that out, then we can say, okay, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to fix each and every one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, so much with the functional medicine side, too. And, I mean, I think so many times, and, man, you brought up exactly what I wanted to talk with you about a little bit, because I follow you on Facebook. I see all the different things you talk about. Then I look down, and there's 100 comments about it. And, you know, 75% of those will be questions for you. And, man, when you stop and think about it, there are literally thousands of people running around not feeling good and don't know where to turn or where to get answers, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, it's really gone rampant. And, you know, one of the great parts with COVID and all these things is that it's gotten people thinking about their health.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be living under a rock to think that COVID just hits people randomly.
Sure.
You know, that does not happen. We saw that all the way back in China, in Italy, in Spain, in New York State, when they, you know, went through old people homes. That's not politically correct.
No, I know what you
assisted living,
right.
Facilities. You know, and then they put the sick people back into those facilities, and even this year, 94% of people that have died from COVID are over 50.
98% are over 40. And the majority of those people are overweight, obese, diabetes, high blood pressure, inflammation, metabolic conditions that are leading to this inflammatory process. They get this virus and their body goes haywire and they end up getting issues and having severe infection or dying. And that's what we're seeing. It's not, you know, that it's just random. Healthy people are dying. You know, that is not happening. You know, the news, they love to talk about it. They love to say, sure. Oh, my gosh, look at this healthy 30-year-old. There was a picture on CNN a couple weeks ago about this 10- or 12-year-old, and they showed the parents. The parents were probably a good 60 to 80 pounds overweight each, and then they showed a picture of the kid on the further down, and same thing, probably 40 or 50 pounds overweight. Yeah. Like, oh, just this healthy child, and you know, bless their family's heart. It's heartbreaking and everything, and yet it's not just this innocent virus that's going around non-discriminately causing problems. And so that's what a lot of people have figured out is, you know what, I better get my body as healthy as I possibly can. I better take vitamin D. Almost every patient that used to come in pre-COVID, vitamin D was 25 to 35. I like it 60 to 80. Now almost every person that comes in that we run blood work on is in the 50 to 80 range. Why? Because they've been watching my videos. They've been reading research. They've been listening to things and seeing that there's dramatic improvement if somebody has their vitamin D at the proper level. So they're taking vitamin D. So we have seen these changes, and that's the encouraging part for me is that people are now looking for these answers. They're willing to drive. They're willing to do what it takes and not just popping a pill, not just doing a surgery and going, you know what, hopefully you've got the magic juju berry that'll fix me, but they're willing to do the work.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, going through just some of the comments and looking at your question and answer sessions that you're doing on Facebook as well. So, hey, if you're not following Dr. Ben on Facebook, please do that. It's Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins in Nashville. I mean, he is on there constantly with good information, all kinds of topics, and does a Q&A. And when I just look through all the questions and all the different things, while conditions may vary, What is the starting point then for people to say, okay, I'm ready to take control of my health. I don't know why, you know, been tired and sick and tired for a number of years. No other my medical doctors haven't seemed to been able to pinpoint it. What's the starting point to call you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look even at we did a 30-minute Q&A this morning and all types of different questions.
No, I mean, it was crazy.
How do I fix my gut? How do I fix my brain? How do I, all these different things? And it's the same underlying process. And I think back, I love my mom. She's great. 78 years old. She used to have MS. She was in a wheelchair. Her body healed from that. She doesn't have any more plaquing. She does Granny Boot Camp. But she was a science teacher. And so I'm going to tell her about the patient that I talked to today that used to have seizures, 1 to 4 seizures per week when we first started about 3 months ago. And last week she ate eggs for the first time, and we had gone through and fixed up a bunch of things in her body. She had gone 47 days without a seizure, and she ate eggs, and it triggered a seizure the next day, and that's the only variable. So she's going to stay away from eggs, but she went 47 days without a seizure. When she was having them every 1-2 days, she was having a seizure. And so when I tell my mom that story, the first question she's going to ask is, what did you do? What did you do to fix her? How did you give her something or whatever? You know, because coming from that science perspective, it's got to be, you know, A plus B equals C, and you do this and that. But here's the deal. The body is so complicated and so many systems work together that one of the biggest disservices we've done in modern medicine is to have all these specialists. And if you're out there and you've been to a lot of doctors, the majority of you can look back at one primary care doctor, family doc, whatever, and look back and like, man, they were probably one of the best docs that I've had, better than this Mayo Clinic specialist or this GI or any of these people that like narrow in so fine-tuned to just what is going on in your thyroid, and that's the whole thing. Because very rarely is it just that one thing is out of balance. what we look at is it's this whole body perspective. We've got to take a step back. We've got to throw the net out as wide as we can, not fly fishing, putting that one fly out for that one trout behind the rock, catching that one trout. Yep. But we need to throw the net out. Like if you've watched The Chosen show, I just see this picture where Jesus told his disciples, throw the net out again. And you pull all those fish. And there's like literally the boat was almost drowning.
Absolutely.
So full of fish, and that's what we've got to do is like, hey, what's going to show up? I don't know. Maybe it's your gut. Maybe it's your liver. Maybe it's your brain. Maybe it's the inflammatory process, viral infection, bacterial infection, all these different things. We've got to figure out where those underlying imbalances are coming from. And then we just start with our checklist, and we go, okay, we know that one is off. This is what we do to fix the liver. Do, fix that, and then we go on to the next one. We go on to the next one, and we go on to the next one. And over time, we start seeing these dramatic changes, and just like that lady that went 47 days without a seizure when she was having 1 to 4 every week, there was no one thing that we did. It was just, okay, let's help this body, and it's going to, if you get enough good stuff in, take enough bad stuff out, it's going to be able to start healing itself.
Absolutely. Dr. Ben Galliard is our guest, Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Their number 970-282-1173. So does it start with just really getting a picture of what's going on with blood work? I mean, just really getting a good overall blood panel to start the conversation?
Absolutely. So that 66-year-old that drove in from Omaha yesterday, she got the same blood draw as the 12-year-old that came down from Cody today, and the same as the 35-year-old yesterday, and everybody else in between. Sure, if there's something unique and they've got something special that we need to test, we can always do that. But we need to check people's hormones. The little 12-year-old, she just started having her period, and so we want to see, is she going early? Are those out of balance? What is that affecting her? We run antibodies, so we look for lupus and Sjogren's and rheumatoid arthritis and Hashimoto's. We look at inflammatory markers and vitamin D and fatty liver, all these different things. So first step, let's cast that net wide, figure out what's out of balance there. Second step, let's run it according to my range, not the lab range. And what that means is I've done this over 20 years, and we've been able to figure out what healthy people should be, what ranges we should be in. And what that means is that for all of these people that are coming in and the lab says, oh, you're fine, and then that person's doctor says, oh, you're fine, eat better, lose weight, and they're like, there's got to be something else going on. That's what we're looking at. There is something else going on. And I don't remember the last time a patient came in the 20 years of being in practice, and we go, you know what? Everything is fine. You know, it is all in your head. That just doesn't happen. There's reasons why you're not feeling good. There's reasons why that friend or family member has an autoimmune disease, has a gut issue, has a brain issue. Whatever it is, there are reasons why, and that's what we've got to dig in to see.
Sure. And, you know, the whole point of, and you've mentioned it all perfectly, is, you know, you got the brain, gut, immune system, all the different things. And I think so many times, you know, people may go to their primary care doc for an issue, and yeah, they may give them a pill or something to try to help that issue. But then what's it causing in these other areas? And with the functional medicine philosophy, the way you do it, I mean, you know how all that ties in, and then you get the blood work and figure it out. I mean, that's easy to say why you have the success you have, and the patients get to their goal as well.
Absolutely. And think about it this way. It's a philosophy difference. And that's the most important part of this. And people always ask, what do you do? You know, what's your job? What kind of doctor are you? Tell us about it. And it's really, really simple. So instead of covering up the symptoms, instead of giving a drug, doing a surgery, you know, let's just try to get rid of the symptom. Let's fix the why. Let's get to that underlying why. I always say it's a fix what you find approach as opposed to a this for that. This for that is you can't sleep, take what? Well, here we'll give you some Ambien. Well, you go to a natural doctor, natural person, what alternative medicine provider, whatever, and they go, well, let's give you some melatonin. You can't sleep. It's still this for that. You're taking a natural thing to change a symptom. Right. We don't want to just give you something to sleep. We want to figure out why you're not sleeping. We want to change that brainwave pattern. We want to fix your blood sugar. We want to calm down your adrenals. Whatever it is that's causing you not to sleep, that's what we want to figure out.
Sure. And, you know, I just want to bring up a couple of reviews I saw that I thought were just, you know, really good and explain kind of more what we're talking about here. But here's one that just said, Dr. Ben is who I would recommend to anyone that needs a doctor but is tired of the one-size-fits-all approach and doesn't want synthetic medicine. Listen to his videos and see what you think. Carol said this, started with Functional Medicine Center in June of 2020. I've lost 30 pounds and feel so much better, blood sugar regulated. Would recommend this clinic to everyone. We all need help with our health. And another quick one here from Heather. Dr. Ben's an excellent practitioner who gets to the root cause of illness, just what you were saying, instead of masking problems. He has a heart to serve people and is obvious when you meet him. I would highly recommend all my friends and family to him and his team. Thank you for doing what you do. That's what it's all about, man. I mean, to get some, because the frustration that has to be on so many people's face when you first see them, because, I mean, they've been everywhere, spent probably thousands of dollars and are even sicker, man, getting things like that are awesome.
Oh yeah. Well, just the lady that we were talking about with the seizures. Okay. That's great. She's not having seizures, but more importantly, she said her marriage is that much better. She didn't realize how grumpy she was and from feeling horrible and in pain and all these things that are gone now, even in 3 months, she's feeling so much better. And they're working on starting a small business, so they're getting their business plan together and actually taking massive action, moving their feet, able to see these changes in their life. And it's not just, oh, you know, my big toe doesn't hurt anymore, or I'm not sitting on the toilet 8 times a day, but their kids, their grandkids, their spouse, everybody is getting way better from them than they were before. You know, we deserve to get the best from anybody we're around, from our spouse, from anybody. But the majority of those grumpy people in the grocery store, those people that are cutting you off in the car, all of that stuff, you know, have compassion for them because they probably feel yucky. They're feeling sick. They're feeling tired. They're in pain. Their brain is off. They're depressed. Whatever it is, they are not feeling their optimal. And that's the biggest thing that we look at is, let's get people feeling and doing the most they possibly can for this world. And that's where we start seeing those changes. And that's when the world changes, is each one of these people that get their life back, they're going to affect others around them. And it's going to have this worldwide change.
Absolutely. And if you missed it earlier, follow Dr. Ben, Functional Medicine Centers at Fort Collins and Nashville on Facebook. Again, a lot of great posts. You can interact there. They'll get back to you. He does some Q&A times and spends a lot of time answering questions. And that's hard to get your questions answered sometimes, but this is a great forum to get to do that as well. So watching through there, I noticed the other day you did something on exercise, and just wanted to touch on a little bit of what your last 2 years almost now, you know, everybody locked up, gyms were closed. Are you seeing people that still being an area they need to work on, is getting out and being more active? And now the time's going to change here in a few weeks. And, you know, I looked up, the sunset's going to be at 4:44 on November 7th. Ah, hate that. But what can we do through these winter months, kind of? What would be some tips that maybe you went through in your video?
Yep, absolutely. So here's the thing. I always say that most people are either over-exercising, so the majority of people aren't exercising enough, but the ones that are, the majority of those are over-exercising, like doing a spin class or doing a CrossFit class or something where they're pushing too hard. And then those that are thinking they're exercising and going for a walk or whatever it is not enough. So going for a walk, doing a gentle bike ride, you know, something just where you're getting some movement, that's what it is. It's movement. It's not exercise. Exercise is elevating the heart rate into the right zone, the right heart rate zone for your age and for your activity level. So anybody that's going out for a walk, great. Keep walking. Do it. Get outside. Breathe fresh air. Whatever you can do is going to be great to do that. But if you're not doing exercise, if you're not raising your heart rate at all, you're missing out on so many health benefits. And the big thing that we look at with this is the high-intensity interval training, and the HIIT workouts are really, really important. A lot of people think about this like, oh, my gosh, I can't do burpees and pull-ups and all these different things, and I don't have a gym to go to. But guess what? You can go 5 to 10 minutes, go out into your living room, down in the basement, whatever you have, and you can do some modified exercises to elevate that heart rate. Most people have a smartwatch, a Fitbit, some type of a monitoring device. You want to look at that heart rate, and you want to get that heart rate up to 180 minus your age. So if somebody's 40 years old, they would want to be right around that 140 mark. So you get your heart rate up to 140 by doing some air squats or by doing some push-ups against the wall. Do some different exercises. If you just Google home exercises, there's lots of different things that you can look out there, and you don't have to go to the gym. You can get some stretchy bands. You can get some 5 and 10 pound dumbbells.
Sure.
For a while, all the stores were out of even dumbbells because people were working out at home, but most have caught up now. So you should be able to get some home exercise equipment. You can get a stationary bike. You can get a rowing machine, a treadmill, any of these things. I've got a treadmill that goes up to 40% incline, and if I put that on 30, 35% incline, I'm going 2 miles an hour, and my heart rate's up in the 130s.
Yeah, I bet.
And I don't have to run. I don't have to do anything, you know, where I feel like I'm going to harm myself or anything like that. And so it's really about getting that heart rate up. The high-intensity interval training is interval. So I was on my stationary bike. I've got one of the old-fashioned kind with the arm movement as well, the old swing kind, and I'd get my heart rate up into that 140 like I want it to be, and then I would rest for 30 seconds, let that heart rate come down, do it again for about 30 seconds, let it rest, up and down, up and down. Did that 10 times, and that was my whole workout. So it can be super easy, but it's all about immune system, it's about cardiovascular health, it's about brain health, blood sugar stabilization. All these amazing things happen when you start getting that heart rate elevated. Obviously, if you've got health issues, any type of cardiovascular disease, anything like that, check with your doctor before doing that, or you may want to get some support with a trainer or something along those lines. But for everybody else out there that's just sick and tired of being sick and tired and a little bit overweight, a little bit tired, get out there and move. You've got to get that exercise. It's one of the most important things that you can possibly do, you know, that and what you're putting in your mouth. And literally, we could reverse 90% of chronic conditions in this country.
Dr. Ben Galliard's our guest, Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Once again, their number, 970-282-1173. So last few minutes here, but when you look at all the people that come in for all the different conditions, how much is what their diet, you know, their what we're putting in our mouth affecting those medical issues?
Absolutely. I wrote my blood sugar book, and it's called Blood Sugar Doesn't Lie. And in that, I say, like I just said, 90% of chronic conditions could be reversed if everybody stabilizes blood sugar. One of the things we do with patients is use a continuous glucose monitor, and we're able to see on an every 5-minute basis without poking your finger what exactly is going on with that blood sugar. And it's an amazing tool that we see, and we're able to see it in real time what that blood sugar is doing. And if somebody does that, that's at least 50% of what we need to do with them. If they stabilize their blood sugar, if they fix what they're putting in their mouth and calm down that inflammation, calm down all these issues that are coming from it, that's when we start seeing the miracles. So how much of it is what we're putting in our mouth? It's a lot. And if somebody's not going to change what they're eating, I just had that conversation with a lady today. She's like, well, I'm not really quite sure I want to change my diet. I don't like cooking. I'm like, you know what? This might not be the best place for you. We might need to move on, and you might need to go take that pill or whatever it is, because if somebody's not going to move their feet and put in the work, we're not going to see the results.
Yeah, absolutely. It just came out a couple of days ago, FDA or whatever, on salt, sodium, all that. Do you see that being the problem, or do you see sugar in our foods being the bigger problem?
Yeah, so sugar by far is the biggest problem. If everybody stabilized their blood sugar, it would put hospitals out of business. Yeah. I mean, it's that dramatic. And so don't think about that too much. So you know, here's what we're looking at is salt. Yes, if you're going to McDonald's, if you're eating canned soups and all those things, that can definitely throw it off. But what I do, I actually prescribe salt a lot of times with patients, but it's specific type of salt. My favorite brand is the Celtic Sea Salt from the Grain and Salt Society. It's got over 80 different electrolytes and minerals. It is dialed in specifically with the nutrients and minerals and electrolytes that people need to be able to have the balance in their body for their adrenals, for their kidneys, for all these things. And we don't see issues with high blood pressure or anything like that. So salt, table salt, is definitely a problem. Table salt is going to be a major issue for so many people. But Celtic sea salt is a lifesaver. It can really change and help a lot of people with cramping, with all types of issues.
Yeah. And you know, Dr. Bennett, one thing that amazes me when I look at your practice and our relationship that we've had here a couple of years now is the variety of ages of people that come to you for help and that you're able to help. I mean, it's quite amazing, really.
Yes, I always say we see just as many teens and 20-something-year-olds as we do 50 and 60-year-olds. So yeah, it's really amazing to think about it, that there's so many sick people, and it doesn't have to just be that, oh, I'm 75 and you know I'm going downhill and I'm just getting older. No, we see 20-something-year-olds, 30-something-year-olds. The 12-year-old from Cody, Wyoming drove down today with her parents. You know, all these people coming in because age doesn't matter anymore. The body can start breaking down. It can start having problems, and it doesn't matter what age we're talking about.
Right. Now, did I see something real quick that you did on the flu shot the other day? Some people are asking about, you know, should they get this flu shot? We don't have time to get into all the vaccine stuff, but just thoughts on flu shots and flu vaccine.
Yeah, so I was talking about this morning. Somebody asked that same question. And, you know, here's the deal. I wish that it would protect people, and I wish it was this be-all and end-all. No good, now the flu's gone. Well, yeah, the flu's an upper respiratory seasonal infection, and it's going to come and go. Unfortunately, most of the vaccines every year are between 10 and 50% accurate, meaning that they have to kind of guess at which strains are going to be coming out, and so that's what they give out. And then it's the effectiveness goes down dramatically. And somebody at 70 years old, it's only 50% effective. So unfortunately, it's not the be-all and end-all. So if you are getting your flu vaccine, if you are doing those things, you still have to take massive action, get your body as strong as feasibly possible so that it can handle anything coming at it.
All right. Dr. Ben, as always, great information. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to our conversation next week, sir.
You bet. All right. Take care, Scott.
All right, bud. That's Dr. Ben Galyard, Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Their number, 970-282-1173. Follow him on Facebook as well. It's Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and Nashville, and you'll see all of Dr. Ben's great videos. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for joining us for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. Contact the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins now by visiting functionalmedicinefortcollins.com or call 970-716-0079. Join Dan Muir and Dr. Ben next time right here on KLZ.
The health advice and opinions on this broadcast are those of the host and guests, and do not necessarily represent the views of this station, Crawford Broadcasting Company, its staff, management, or sponsors.